here. Very rock and roll, says Zad. I suppose they would in that context. Lisa and Nick Cook, 85058. If you'd like to talk to us today, Richard Armitage is still here. We're talking about his role as John Porter in Chris Ryan's Strike Back, which starts tomorrow night on Sky One. There are 6 episodes shown in pairs, as you said a moment ago, so they look like films. I keep making this 24 comparison.
Yeah.
24 is always a little bit nebulous and vague about who the bad guys really are. You know, they're kind of Middle Eastern most of the time, but they never have the sort of courage to say where they are, or they just invent a country.
Yeah.
Whereas this is, I suppose, more relevant, more topical in some ways. It's about Iraq. It's about the invasion of Iraq.
Yeah, I mean, that's our first episode. Our second episode, a second story, should I say. We go into Zimbabwe and there's a potential assassination of Robert Mugabe. The third story is set in Afghanistan. We've got a British operative who's kind of gone AWOL and he's redirecting US missiles. He's working with the Taliban in cyberspace. So yeah, they're as relevant as they can be without pressing too many buttons. If essentially they are just a fictional backdrop, but we hope to sort of prick the conscience of people watching it so it feels that they can connect into it and they're recognizing something from current affairs.
I mean, the premise is quite boy's own, lot of it, isn't it? It's quite
boy's own.
Not boy's own. No, they've got no part in Chris Ryan's Strike Back in foiling an attempted assassination of Mugabe. It's a male show, isn't it? It's going to attract a predominantly male audience.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose when I embarked on it, I thought that was possibly the case. But I think when you look at the man as opposed to what he does as his job, it becomes a bit more wide-reaching. And I think this is about a man who made a decision that had such a catastrophic effect on his life, and he still believes that that was the right decision, even against the odds, against the evidence of what's happened. And I think that begins to become more about a man than a soldier. The soldier is just what he does, and getting him into these situations, it becomes much more of a moral journey for him. How does he survive as a man and a soldier, as a husband and a father and a soldier at the same time? So hopefully it kind of sort of broadens the scope of it.
I mean, you've got, given that Chris Ryan wrote this, and I was reading yesterday that Chris Ryan has written 14 novels.
Yeah.
14.
14 bestsellers as well.
And he's written 3 non-fictions as well, hasn't he?
Yeah.
The one that was Left Behind, Bravo to Zero, and it's obviously the third one, isn't there? But this is fictional, but obviously based on a reality that he understands.
Yes. And it's actually the part of the book that I really went for when I was looking at it, because I felt that probably John Porter was going to be somebody that was as close to him as you could find in any fiction.
As close to Chris Ryan.
It must be. I mean, I've got no evidence that was the case.
But you met Chris, came out to set, did he? You met him?
I didn't actually meet him. He advised early on during the pre-production.
He didn't come down.
I didn't actually get to meet him. We were way off in South Africa by the time we got into production. But
so I wondered if he's always in silhouette.
In a sort of profile. He'd met all the SAS guys that we were working with. But I felt that Porter in the novel was probably the closest we'd get to the truth in terms of him and his. And if you look at the detail that he writes that character compared to the other characters, clearly that John in the book was a lot of his own experience.
So it's the one that got away, not the one that got left behind. I've just realised the one that got away, title of his book wrong. But he, yes, such a remarkably successful author, isn't he?
Yeah.
The fact that there are 14 of them really did take me by surprise. But this works. It works because, as we say, because of its relevance, because it's fairly topical. So it takes in Iraq, Zimbabwe, Afghanistan and Pakistan over the 6 episodes.
Yeah.
But did you film a lot of it in South Africa? Is that right?
Yeah, we filmed all of it in South Africa. And South Africa actually becomes London, it becomes Hereford, it becomes the mountains of Afghanistan. We did go up to Namibia to shoot Afghanistan, which was amazing. And it's interesting because you do question, why are we here? Why are we shooting this here? And then when you see the end product and you see the big helicopter shot where the landscape expands in front of you, you really understand, because to me, there were some places we shot that to me looked like CGI to the naked eye.
Yeah.
And on screen, you kind of think, are people going to really believe that this is true, or are they going to think it's computer generated? But there's very little CGI in this.
On that point about a certain type of truth, and I mentioned it's based on a reality that Chris Ryan understands, having been in the SAS. Watching it, and I was looking at the kidnap scenarios and the safe houses, and I suppose there must be, you know, the show has studied that and it's tried to recreate how those sorts of missions would really work when they went to extract a hostage. That's where one part of the programme. The other part of the programme is based at MI6, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where Andrew Lincoln is conducting operations. And I assume that isn't particularly realistic. He stands in front of a great big screen and he's got lots of video feeds, and that's where it really does look a bit 24.
Yeah, it's kind of how we hope MI6 is, but the reality is probably not quite as glamorous as that.
I imagine the reality is it's just lots of people sitting at computers studying data.
Yeah, and on headphones like this, whispering into real machines, yeah.
It's just quite a boring job, I would imagine, in reality. So you've got that, you've in a way, with the MI6 stuff, you've fed the public the way that they think these things work. But the stuff on the ground has, I think anyway, as far as I know, what do I know, but has an air of realism about it.
I think the reason for that is because of the lack of CGI, because everything we did, we had to really do. And I did every stunt apart from one thing, which I'm not going to tell you what it is. Hopefully you won't be able to spot it. But it was just one thing that we couldn't get the insurance for. And I think that plays a lot into this, that because there isn't a lot of computer-generated image, because most of it's real, it really is going to feel real. So, you know, when we're kind of doing the explosions and driving off in the Land Rovers, and it's all for real.
Let's have a look. This email says, "Hello, can you please let Richard Armitage know that his Armitage Army, hardcore fans out there, are really looking forward to watching Strike Back tomorrow night on Sky One, and are all totally behind him, supporting him in everything he does. I'd like to know which character he's enjoyed portraying the most." That's essentially, it goes on a bit, but that's essentially the question.
Gosh, I have to say John Porter's probably the character that I think, probably because it's the closest to me, but I actually started dreaming John Porter's dreams, which during filming, which was really quite disturbing. So he got under my skin quite a lot. But obviously John Thornton from North and South was quite a monumental.
And you played Monet, didn't you?
I did.
In The Impressionists.
In a big wig. And
you prefer John Porter to Monet?
Yeah, I mean, I get to run around with guns rather than pointing at paintings.
Just been asking people as well on the text to tell us about celebrities that they've seen indulging their hobbies ahead of Timothy Spall's appearance on the programme shortly. Dear Richard, I saw Wincy Willis last week wakeboarding in Ipswich. Justine, a lot of people, they've started simply making things up and sending them in. Richard, you're right to look puzzled by that.
She used to be a weather girl many years ago and used to wear quite loud jumpers, from what I remember, although it was the 80s.
Yeah. I've seen Prunella Scales and Timothy West on a canal boating holiday in the West Midlands, says Ruth. I believe that
one. Oh, yeah, that counts, yeah.
There's some honesty there. Thank you, David Suchet. Canal boating in Stourbridge in the West Midlands. It would appear that canal boating is all the rage with British actors of a certain age. Doesn't it? In a few years, you need to take this up, Richard.
No.
Does it not appeal to you at all? Why not?
Danger sports, all the way.
Which danger sports do you do?
I'm a bit of a skier, actually, but I'm kind of looking forward to a bit of off-piste next year.
Well, you better make sure you never end up in a soap opera, because if you're in a soap opera, you're not allowed to go skiing.
I know.
It's in the contract.
Or horse riding.
Is that in there as well?
Yeah.
I didn't realise this until I got to know a few people who have been in soaps, in particular EastEnders and Corrie, but the contracts are really, really strict. So don't join EastEnders or Corrie, Richard. Okay. That's my simple message to you. I think canal boating does appeal. I can get it.
Yeah, I think it'd be great.
Yeah.
I think it's the chance to get away and just do your own thing and stop at pubs along the way and just chill out. I think, yeah.
I think when we've heard Timothy Spall and his wife Shane explain
it, we'll be one even more.
Exactly. This particular role that you've taken on for Sky One, it's pretty tough physically. You'd obviously been working out for this part.
Yeah, I didn't have a great deal of time to prepare, but I worked with a trainer in the UK who was ex-military, and the trainer in South Africa, and then we had the three SAS guys giving us weapons and tactical.
What were they like?
They were probably not what you'd expect. Well, one of them was like your
small and weedy.
One of them was like your favourite granddad.
Quite camp. I'm not expecting that.
just kind of very low key.
Are they
very very low key? But don't want to talk about it too much.
How long ago did they stop being in the SAS?
Well, it feels like they never did, but I probably, you know, a good 10-15 years. But the stories they have to tell are pretty amazing.
Are they?
Yeah.
Could they, this thing, your character has been reactivated, as I mentioned earlier. I just quite like that phrase. It makes you sound like a robot.
Yeah.
Which is not a terrible analogy. I mean, you're pretty...
plug him in.
Plug him in,
push
him off. Fairly ruthless machine. Yeah. But can that actually happen? Did they say this could happen? Can you get pulled back in, or is that a bit of Chris Ryan fantasy?
To be honest, I didn't want to hear, no, that would never happen, so I didn't ask the question. But, you know, we did avoid the sort of slightly cheesy montage sequence, which was possibly there, where he kind of goes through his Rocky Balboa retraining kind of thing. So we tried to make it as believable as possible. So taking him to, because I think in the book he hits the bottle quite badly and he becomes a tramp, and you know, he rehabilitates within 24 hours and is back on ops. And I felt that was probably a bit too much to ask. So we kept him kind of ready to operate at any moment. So
there are those scenes, even when he's working as security guard, you see him working out still, don't you?
So reactivating him wasn't such a big leap.
But I imagine that he's quite difficult to find. Once you've been in the SAS, what do you do then? You know, finding a role after that. Did they talk about that? That must be difficult.
Yeah, they then go and work on films and give people weapons to fire off. I think you're right. I think that there's some kind of adrenaline rush that you can't achieve in any other field, and
not even television.
Not even television.
Just talk about a couple of the shows that you've been in. Vicar of Dibley, and you married Dawn French's character.
Boy, that was an adrenaline rush.
Maybe that one does equal that the experience of being in the SAS, extracting a hostage from a safe house. You know, that was a nice point to join the show. Those last couple of episodes got enormous audience, didn't they?
Yeah, and also it was a big antidote for me. I think I spend a lot of time on television looking serious and scowling a lot. So to go into that show and get to snog Dawn French and, you know, have a genuinely good laugh was brilliant. And I actually still live with the hope that the phone might ring and they'll say, look, we're going to do another Christmas special, because, you know,
they will.
You never know. They didn't burn the set anyway.
No. These successful sitcoms always come back for more Christmas specials. Like an SAS soldier who needs another gear, you know, needs to give it reactivate. They'll reactivate.
Plug her in.
Yeah. Spooks. You mentioned Spooks. You're into the ninth series now. Interestingly, everyone said that was the British 24, and actually, it's not really, is it? It's very distinct from it, and hugely successful for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that it's in its ninth series, one questions how does that happen, but I think because they reinvigorate the show by the way they dispatch with their regular characters, the way that they introduce new writers. You know, the political landscape is always giving material to play with. I think this year we're up against China and Russia working together, and the new regime in America. So it's very interesting.
The new regime in America. Well, is there a reference to Obama?
Yeah. I think I have. It's not actually in print at the moment. One of the episodes is going to involve a visit from Obama, which becomes an assassination attempt. So,
but presumably you never see him. It's a bit weird.
I don't think so. I think you probably might see him below the neck because he is quite tall. So
you work on shows that are fun, don't you?
Yeah, brilliant fun.
It's just great. The spooks are using real politicians. It was always amusing, both in 24 and The West Wing, when they would invent countries and then invent presidents of real countries. And
we've got Kazakhstan this year, which I love saying. Are you? Yeah, Kazakhstan. Like, there's a syllable missing, isn't there?
There is. Yeah. I actually didn't know you meant to so many countries in that programme as well. But there you go, ninth series. You're filming it at the moment. Yeah. But Pete, I would urge anyone to watch John Porter, your character, in Chris Ryan's Strike Back, which starts tomorrow night on Sky One, because it is marvellous. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
There's Richard Armitage. Timothy Spall is next. It's 2:32.